As we think of the question of baptism, there's a lot of confusion about it. There are some who say you cannot be saved without being baptized. So if that guy, for example, in jail say to me, can we be baptized in here? We want to be baptized. I say, well, no. The policy of the jail is no baptisms in this jail. Sometimes in prisons they do allow, but not in this county jail. And they say, well, I guess we can't be saved then, because we can't be baptized. And then I have to do some teaching along that line to clarify the matter. The water of baptism does not save you. You can be saved, and you will be saved, if you're saved at all, apart from baptism. You're saved the moment you turn to the Lord Jesus and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You don't need to be baptized in order to be sure of going to heaven. So there's a lot of confusion out there. Some of us, maybe you, were baptized as a baby. My parents were church people, and they took me as a baby. I don't remember it, but I do have a baptismal certificate that says it happened on such and such a date. They took me to the church. They stood there, and they were very, it was a very solemn thing. And the minister had a little baptismal font with some water in it, put a little water on my forehead, and pronounced me baptized and a member of the church. And so I grew up thinking, I'm a Christian. I was baptized. And so there's a lot of confusion out there. Now, Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Great Commission. Now I want to think about baptism in several different ways. First of all, I'm going to ask the question, why should I be baptized? If it does not save me, if I can go to heaven without being baptized, why should I be baptized? And the first thing we want to emphasize is, it's something Jesus has told us to do. He says to his disciples, you go into the world, you make disciples, you give them the gospel, encourage them to make this decision to accept the Lord Jesus, and to become a follower of Him, and then baptize them. And so the reason we baptize is, first of all, and primarily, it's the commandment of the Lord. Now, if you say you're a Christian, you should want to do what He says. The Bible emphasizes very strongly that one of the things that marks Christians is a desire to obey God. And baptism does not save you, but it's something the Lord has commanded. Now, when you get saved, you're acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Now, I want to turn to Romans 10 and verse 9, familiar verse to many of us. Romans 10, 9. And here, Paul is writing. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God's raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so he says you confess Jesus as Lord. You're acknowledging the authority of God in your life. And you may have been a rebel. You may have said, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live my own life. I don't want God to tell me what to do or anybody else. But when you accept the Lord Jesus, you acknowledge He is Lord, and you're now putting yourself under His authority. And that means your whole life is going to be different from now on. Jesus is your Lord. In fact, one of the figures that is used, Paul uses it, of becoming a Christian is enlisting. Enlisting in the army, in the service. Now, when you enlist, you put yourself under authority. I remember summer of 1942 when I went into the Navy and I enlisted. And I can remember, taking the oath and putting myself under that authority. From that time on, they ran my life, They told me where to go. They told me what to eat. They told me what to wear. I was under authority. My whole life changed when I enlisted. I put myself under the authority of the United States government in a special way. And when you accept the Lord Jesus, if you're serious, if you mean business, you are putting yourself now under the authority of the Lord Jesus. You're really saying, I want you from now on to begin to run my life, to direct me, to show me how to live. I put myself under your authority. You confess Jesus is Lord. And so that's a big decision. Now there's a lot of easy believism that's being preached today, which says all you need to do is just say, I believe in the Lord Jesus. But you can believe in the Lord Jesus and be lost. Because the devil himself believes that there's a God. James says, well, isn't it a great thing? You say you believe in God, the devil believes in God. But he's not submissive to God. He isn't at all interested in God's authority over him. And so there's a big difference between being really saved and simply knowing about the Lord Jesus, saying, oh, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe, and yet never having come to the point of repentance and where you put your life under God's authority. And the Bible emphasizes that's the way you get saved. You confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. And so I want you to think about that. This is important. Have you done that? Has there been a time in your life when you realize that you're a sinner and God commands all men everywhere to repent? You must repent. Your sin will drag you down to hell. It'll destroy you in this life and forever. You must repent and turn from your sin and turn to Christ and acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior. Because He loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sin. And the call of the Scripture is, acknowledge Him. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, if that's taken place, there should be some change in your life. And, as we think of the Lord Jesus and His teaching, He emphasized very strongly, come follow me. Your life should be different. You're going to follow me and you're going to do what I tell you to do. You're going to be my disciple. And when people went out to be baptized by John, he said to them, you remember, he warned them very strongly about the fact that they needed to be sincere. They needed to be real. He said, this business of simply wanting to be baptized and go through the motions, he said, is not what God is interested in. He said to them, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, what John the Baptist was saying, if you come out to me, you want to be baptized. I want to see some evidence in your life. I'm not just interested in your words. I want to see some evidence in your life. And so as a Christian, there should be some change in your life if you've accepted the Lord Jesus. Now to simply say, well, I want to be baptized, if there's no evidence in your life that you've really accepted Christ and you want Him to direct your life, you want to live a different life, John says, well, I'm not interested in baptizing you. He says, bring forth fruit in your life that'll show you're sincere about what you're going to do. And so we have to say, for example, working as some of us do in the jail, there are people there that will say, well, I want to accept the Lord Jesus. And I want to be a Christian, and so forth. But then when they get out, when they get on the streets, then we say, well, now we want to see if you're sincere or not. Are you going to go back to your old ways? You're going to go back to using drugs? You're going to go back to your drinking? Going back, go back to chasing women, living an immoral life? What change is there going to be in your life? And there should be a change. There ought to be a difference in your life. And that's what we look for. That's what John was looking for. And he said, I don't want to baptize you unless there's some evidence in your life. And so when the question comes up, when should we baptize? It's after salvation. And there should be some evidence in your life that you're sincere, that you really mean business here. You're not just saying words, but that this is something now that has gripped your life and you're born again and you're truly saved. And so we emphasize that there should be evidence. Baptism is not something you just go through and, you know, you think, well, it's a thing to do. Maybe I'll join a church by being baptized or something like this. We say, no, it should be an evidence of a deep turning to the Lord, an acceptance of Him. You're going to now up be under His authority. And so as Christians, we should see some fruit in the life. I want to turn to Matthew 7 and notice here what Jesus said as He's talking to His disciples. And He says to them, Matthew 7, verse 16, He says, you'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And he goes on to say in the judgment, many are going to come to him and say, Lord, you know, we've done various things. We've been religious and so forth. And he's going to say, I never knew you. By their fruits you shall know them. Now, some would say, well, what are you doing? Are you saying you're saved by your life? We say, no. No, you're not saved by your life. You're saved by your faith in the Lord Jesus. You're saved by Him. Nothing you can do will save you. You're lost. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So we emphasize that very strongly. Why then is the Lord Jesus saying, well, by their fruits you'll know them? Because if you're truly saved, you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, there ought to be some evidence in your life of the Spirit of God working. And this is what the Scripture emphasizes. If you're born of God, there ought to be some evidence in your life of fruit, because the Scripture says, you know, by their fruits you'll know them. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He says, my life is going to flow through you, and there's going to be fruit for God in our lives as Christians. So that's the amazing thing. The fruit, in other words, the change in the life does not save you. It simply shows you have life. Now, spring's coming. Praise the Lord. I love spring, don't you? And many of us will be planting seeds. I often try to have a small vegetable garden. And I'm going to plant seeds there. And as I look at those seeds, I can't really tell you which of them have life in them and which don't. They all look pretty much alike. But if they're planted and they're watered and the soil warms up, those that have life are going to germinate, and there's going to be a shoot of green coming up, and you're going to realize there was life in that seed by what you see. Now, the fact that I see it doesn't give it life. But what I see indicates there is life. And so that's why, as Christians, you know, someone makes a profession of faith, we want to see. Is there evidence in your life that God has come into your life and that you have a new life from God? Any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Favorite verse of Toby Guillory's. And the Lord makes a wonderful, wonderful difference. And so we baptize people after profession, and along with that, there should be evidence that there is new life. So, 1 John emphasizes that as you go through the epistle. He emphasizes the fact if you're really saved, you're going to love the brothers and sisters. If you're really saved, you're not going to love sin. You're going to begin to hate sin. There's going to be a difference in your life because God is working in your life. So let me ask you, can you look back to a time when you accepted the Lord Jesus and you really meant it? And you said, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of sin. I want to put you first. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to begin to follow you. And then is there some change in your life? Do you love to be with the Christians? Now, if you're part of the family of God, you should want to be with the Christians. And you should want to be meeting with His people whenever possible. That's a sign of life. You're wanting to be with the Lord's people. You want to hear the Word of God. You want to read it. You want to pray. You begin to turn away from those things that you used to do once that you realize now are sin. And no longer can you be happy doing those things. You're truly saved. You can't be happy going back to using drugs. You can't. The Holy Spirit will make you miserable if you do. And so there's a change that is to come. And we baptize after we see a person's profession, and there should be some evidence of God really changing the life. Now you might ask the question, where should we be baptized? And as we think of this, we realize that the place doesn't matter so much, but there needs to be enough water to do the job. Now, I was baptized as a baby, and they just put a little water on my forehead. You don't find that in the Scripture anywhere. The only time you see baptisms in the Scripture is where people really go under the water and get thoroughly wet. And I want to turn to Mark chapter 1 and read some verses here. Mark 1 about the baptism of Jesus. So it'll give you an idea of what baptism involves. Mark chapter 1. Verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. So Jesus was baptized. How was he baptized? Did John stand by him on the bank of the Jordan and pour some water on his head? Doesn't say that. He says he came up out of the water. If you have to come up out of the water, it means you've been in the water. And so there was enough water to cover the person up. So the exact place doesn't matter. We've had baptisms in different places in years past here. Remember one we had in the Big Thompson up the river ways, and the river was running pretty fast. And the brother who baptized him, I said, you better hang on to him. We don't want to lose him. Because the current was pretty swift. And he was a big man, a strong man. We didn't lose him. But you can baptize in the river or in the sea or near the ocean. That's a great place to baptize, except in the winter. You can baptize anywhere. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Today, if you go on a tour to Israel, there's one place there, just as the Jordan comes out of the Sea of Galilee, where a lot of people want to be baptized. They somehow think it'll make me more holy, maybe, if I'm baptized in the Jordan River. Really, the place doesn't matter. You can be baptized wherever there's enough water. And on the day of Pentecost, there was no river in Jerusalem. There's no lake in Jerusalem, but around Jerusalem, they have a lot of pools they had in those days. Many pools they used for ritual cleansing. The Jews would have these ritual baths. And on the day of Pentecost, probably they were baptized often in pools, maybe similar to what we're going to be using here this morning. A pool with some water in it, enough so you could get down and get under the water. So that's the place where one can be baptized. It doesn't matter the geographical location. It doesn't have to be in a church building, because it isn't the building that matters. It isn't the receptacle that matters. It's what you're portraying, the truth that you're symbolizing. And that's the next thing we want to look at. What does baptism symbolize? So what does it mean? And I want to turn to Romans 6. Romans 6. And Paul here is doing some teaching on the Christian life. And he's going to talk now about what baptism pictures, what it represents. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? In other words, what he's saying here is, since we're not saved by our works, but by God's grace, it doesn't matter how you live. Can we just go on sinning? It doesn't matter. No, he says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united to him together in the likeness of his death, certainly also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man, our old person, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. What is he saying here? When you're baptized, he says, you go under the water. And you don't baptize yourself. You are not doing anything. He says, you're picturing a death. The fact that Christ died for you, and now you are linking yourself with him. So his death is your death. And so you're picturing a death. And you go down under the water. He says it pictures a burial. You're buried with Christ. You come up out of the water. It's going to be a new life. A resurrection life. You're raised with him. Now, what he's emphasizing here is this is true as far as God is concerned, as far as your old life is concerned. This is what has taken place. As far as the books of heaven are concerned, the old you died when you received the Lord Jesus. You died in the person of the Lord Jesus. And as far as God is concerned, your sin is taken care of. You died in the person of the Lord Jesus. So legally, there's not a charge against you. There are no warrants out from heaven against you. You died with the Lord Jesus. That's taking care of your sin. Then you come up out of the water and you're picturing, now I'm going to live a new life. A new life for the Lord and with the Lord. I'm through with that old life. So he says, you can't go back to living the old life. This is a new life now, because legally before God, the old you is dead. So don't go back to living like the old you used to live. Live this new life with the Lord. Well, you say, how does that work? What? I mean, you're just talking words. How does this work? And I want to use the illustration of marriage here. If you're married, you took certain vows, and you accepted one another. And the man who married you turned in a marriage certificate, and it was recorded in the county courthouse or wherever. And officially and legally, you were married. Now, from that time on, now you're to live like you're married. That means you don't go back and see your old girlfriends or your old boyfriend. It means you're going to be faithful to one another. And you need to constantly remind yourself, I am married. Legally, I'm married. And if I live with that thought in my mind, then I will act like I'm married. Now, what Paul is wanting to emphasize here is, legally and as far as God is concerned, the old you is dead. You died with Christ. He was your substitute. He took your place. And now Paul says, now live that way. Live that way. Remind yourself that old you died with Christ. You're through with that life. Now you're going to live a new life for God because you died with Christ and we're buried with Christ. And, you know, that really will work. Marriages break up because people stop thinking married. And they start thinking, well, maybe I'll get a divorce. Well, there's another person that's very attractive, and maybe this other person will make me happier. They stop thinking married, and they begin thinking single, thinking, well, they can just go ahead and make another marriage, change it in that direction, because they've stopped thinking married. What Paul is saying here is, if you're a Christian, think dead with regard to sin. Every time sin is attractive to you, remind yourself, oh, I died with Christ, I'm through with that old life. It was so destructive, it was going to drag me down, it would send me to hell forever. I'm through with it, I'm not going back to it. I died with Christ. And so that's the symbolism that we're going to see here. People who are going to be baptized are going to step into that baptistry, and they're going to have the water flow over them, and they're going to say, I died with Christ. They're going to come up out of the water. And they're going to say, now by God's grace, I'm going to live a new life. A different life. A life for God. And so baptism is very important. Doesn't save, but it's important. It's an indication your life now is a life that's going to be pleasing to God. You want to please Him. You're under His authority. And you're going to live a different life. You're through with that old life. You died with Christ. Now, some of us have been baptized here, as we have to remind ourselves over and over again when temptation comes, because as long as we're in this life, there's temptation. As long as we're in this life, the devil is after us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to pull us back into the old ways of thinking and doing. And we constantly have to remind ourselves, I died with the Lord Jesus. He was my substitute. And as far as God is concerned, the old self is gone, is dead. I'm to live a new life for the Lord. Sometimes, too, baptism marks a break with the old life in other ways. Sometimes it means a break with your family. Jesus said, you know, if a man loves his father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. And when you're baptized, you're saying, my loyalty now is primarily toward the Lord. That loyalty is more important to me than even my own family. And so sometimes when people are baptized, they have the opposition of family. When I got saved, my father was very unhappy. When I got baptized, he wasn't happy. He didn't come to it. It was a breaking with him in many ways. He was saved later, 35 years later, so he got saved. But there can be that realization. The Lord comes first, or any other relationship. I was in Mexico, west of the Chihuahua city, with a brother, the Klingon. Some of us are familiar with him. And Bob said, we're going to have a baptism in the river. And one of the persons who's supposed to be baptized is doing a lot of opposition from the family. I don't know if they're going to, if you'll come or not. They're trying to talk him out of it. And so we waited, and we were going to have the baptism, and we could see them coming down the road along the river. And he was coming, and his family was coming with him, and they were pleading with him. They were saying, please, please, please don't do this. Don't leave our church. You're leaving our family. Don't do it. And they were pleading with him. And you could see him turn back, and you could see the tug and the pull. But then he turned away and he went ahead to the place where he was baptized. So what we're saying too when we're baptized, my allegiance, my loyalty is to God above all else. God's more important to me than family. God's more important to me than any other relationship. He must come first. And so it's a big, big decision that we make when we're baptized. You know, there's this man that's been in the news who converted from Islam, says he's a Christian. And the charges were brought against him. And if he'd gone to trial, they were asking for the death penalty. He had left Islam. He was an apostate. And because of that, they said, you deserve to die. So in many parts of the world, baptism is a very serious step. And it may mean for some of our brothers and sisters to take this step, now my life is in danger because I've accepted the Lord Jesus and I've been baptized. But it's a joyous time. As we obey the Lord, and as we realize it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's wonderful to know your sins forgiven. It's wonderful to know you have a place in heaven, ultimately. And it's wonderful to know, too, you've got a great family here. No greater family, better family than the family of God. So let's rejoice as these are baptized.